the end of the world as we know it. Welcome to the Tuesday Coffee with Jack and John. I can't think of two other people I'd rather be with in this time of complete societal meltdown. Guys, how's it going?
Good, good.
Great, man.
Are the zombies at your window yet?
No, they won't know how to get here with Meta down. They won't be able to find us.
Yeah, what I've confirmed is that the reptilians have worked with the alien grays to shut down Facebook to cover up Nikki Haley's losses for Super Tuesday in alignment with the future eclipse. That's yes. What's going on.
Clearly.
There's multiple sources that confirm this. Now, all of them are in straitjackets and eating pills, but hey, multiple sources are multiple sources. That's rules of journalism. I don't make the rules. I just follow them.
All evidence points to.
Well, I just confirmed with one of my sheep that Jack is 100% correct. Oh. And although she is in labor right now, so like prone to a little bit of exaggeration because she's in a lot of pain. Yeah, 100% confirmed. So you've got three sources now there, Jack.
We got a sheep and a bunch of other sheeps that all say the same thing. It's here. It's the apocalypse. It's Armageddon. It's the revelations. It's all in one.
Is it not super late for sheep to be having babies right now?
A lot of sheep are having babies now. Mine were bred in October, so.
Got it. Because yeah. You just put them together or they just did it on their own right then?
No, I put them together.
Got it.
I'm trying to control so that it's not like something's being born every other week here or every month.
Got it. And so they don't drop in the middle of January?
Yeah. I had one in February last year on a really cold day. That sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, ours hold them for the worst day. Like if it's snowing and blizzarding out, that's when they're having them.
That is the way it goes. Okay, for those of you who've never been on this stream before, it's our monthly live discussion. And if you have a question or something you want to hear thoughts on, you can put it in the comments. Use the word question in all caps or the first word of your question in all caps or comment. So I know that we are supposed to look at it and Jack knows. I'm not actually going to bother with introductions, guys, because people should know who we are by now who come to these. And if not, you can check out our websites, which are all linked in the comments. I would like to talk about the let them eat cake moment of the last week. I don't even follow the news, but apparently if you want to beat inflation, cereal for dinner. What do you guys think about that one?
I haven't heard this one. I don't know. This is great. I did hear the Atlantic say that inflation was my fault like 6 months ago, but I did not know we were supposed to eat cereal.
Cricket cereal.
For dinner, yeah. Right? It's not for cereal dinner. For breakfast now. It's like
you
sugar
wanna
pops.
You want to save money, eat a bowl of cereal for dinner.
Cricket cereal.
I ate ribeye and asparagus last night, and they can kiss my ass.
So it was an actual ad campaign, and what it resulted in was a bunch of people on the internet making fun of quote-unquote rich CEOs coming up with this idea and like reenacting how they came up with it, and okay. It's a total let them eat cake moment. And then I started seeing people showing like, this is how you make cereal homemade if you want to make your own and not give them your money anymore. So it was apparently considered to be a tone-deaf approach to people who are genuinely struggling with grocery bills.
The same crazy lady that ran on I'll Go After Trump has a lawsuit against the largest meat packing manufacturing facility in the United States. I can't, the name slips my mind. And she is going after them for billions of dollars because she believes there is no way they can meet their zero carbon emissions by 2040. So they are going after that meatpacking plant right now. Yanasa TV did a great video on that I watched this morning. And it's just insane. It literally is clown world, the stuff that is going on right now in New York. And then those seeds, you know, they kind of spread as it goes.
So wait a minute, because you said crazy lady that ran on going after Trump. We're going to have to narrow that down to which crazy lady that ran on going after Trump. The New York one, the Georgia one?
New York.
New York, okay. That, Letitia James, is that it?
That's her.
Yeah, okay.
That's her.
I don't know what brain cell that was in, but apparently I paid attention a little bit.
That is her.
I'm going to have to like smack my own hand for that now because, you know, we shouldn't really be paying attention to these people. But I don't think we're going to have a choice of what we're going to pay attention to today because it's going to be all over all day long. The big contest that isn't.
How many people will commit suicide today because they can't reach their Facebook accounts?
Well, let's stop interfering with that and let them That's my whole new thing. Like, we have all this outrage over them mutilating their children and such. Just let that happen. Your children will not have to have these arguments with their children in the future when they remove themselves from that gene pool. Just let them go.
Yeah, I had a friend that had a different single bullet theory. It was to control population. You give everybody one bullet, and they can use it on themselves or somebody else.
Yep.
No repercussions whatsoever. The thing is, if I use mine on you, I get to take your bullet.
Yeah, armed society is a polite society. Yeah.
And as long as I have one bullet, then I can still use it again.
Yeah, I heard the other, speaking of bullets, I heard the other day that we are ranked third in gun violence in the entire world. But if you remove three cities, gun violence of the United States, we are ranked at like 270 gun violence.
I'm thinking L.A., New Orleans, Chicago?
L.A., Chicago, and somewhere. It was not New Orleans.
Maybe St. Louis then.
St. Louis, that was it.
But St. Louis and New Orleans just, go back and forth as murder capital of the country.
Detroit, somebody says Detroit. I saw somebody say something about Kellogg's. If you have not gone down the Kellogg's rabbit hole over the Kellogg's cereal gruel, they were using that in asylums to feed crazy people and to lower sex drive. And he was actually doing all kinds of mutilations himself. It is quite a fascinating story, the Kellogg story. It was two brothers, and one of them rode around on a bicycle in a completely white suit, and his other brother chased him around trying to keep up with an umbrella. And there's actually a lot of footage and illustrations of this and such. It's very wild, the Kellogg story.
They don't go as deep as that, but that story is one of the featured ones in that that showed
Food
That Built America.
Yep.
And that's all legit. Yeah, that sounds made up and fabricated, but it's not.
Yes.
But the one that was like the beta brother is actually the one that made the company successful in the end.
Oh, always.
The alpha brother wanted to keep the special potion of cereal grains only for his people at his asylum.
Yeah.
And this was not like your normal asylum where like they grab you off the street and throw your ass in there. This was like an asylum like rich people paid to be put in.
Hugely, yeah, like a rehab facility modern
celebrity day. Therapy in the late 1800s, like it is today, you know, where they go to like this resort place or whatever. It's exactly what it was.
Yeah, torturing the children, but all the rich people wanted to go there and witness.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Well, I was wondering where that was going to take us for the let them eat cake moment. We'll see how that goes. I'd like to highlight this super chat. Happy Super Tuesday from Legendary Farm Homestead. Thank you so much for that super chat. I think that went to you, Jack. You know, we're color-coded when they super chat us, so depending on the color, we just have to figure out which one's which. But they were, before we went live, this person's like, I super chatted, but I don't see that it went through, and I think it was waiting for us to go live to go.
Oh, okay.
I like it. Well, he says ass clown, so it has to be Jack. That's his hashtag. And then,
I do see that dude on a lot of my streams, so it probably is me.
And I do like that he chose 1776 for the amount.
Yep.
I think everybody that's on Nicole's channel, like somebody at least should super chat Nicole, and somebody should super chat John, just so we can see if this color code thing is.
Yeah, just to get our color code.
I'm skeptical. I need to see it. I think the color is based on how much you give.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, so they have to give different amounts, right?
We need people to find out. We need somebody to super chat John and super chat Nicole, and then we'll see. And you should totally do it for the exact same amount, 1776, so that we can see if it changes color or not.
Yeah, that's legit. Okay, question. Nicole, are you selling any sheep? My wife wants to get some for her 15 acres. We're in Crossville. I actually am about to process a ram that if you want a ram who's pretty good at getting out of an electric fence, I will sell him to you instead of turn him into meat. But I need to know today. That's Nicole at livingfreeintennessee.com. He actually has really good genetics. He's St. Croix. He is a proven father. He's about 2 years old right now, so he's got a lot of life left in him. And my other ram is already sold for meat to somebody else. But reach out to me because I'm actually just getting in contact with a local farmer who does St. Croix here, who's been doing it for a decade or two without any vaccinations or anti-parasitic stuff. So he's been developing those genetics, and I'm working to get in contact with him so that we can do well.
I heard you're getting completely out of sheep and moving the whole operation to ostriches.
Ostriches are great because they will, like, bury their head in the sand.
No,
and that's what we need to do, man, is just bury our head in the sand.
Man, there are a lot of ostrich content out there where they try to kill you.
Yeah, they do.
Holy cow.
See, I think the color coding is...
Okay, so Mr. Landfill, I wonder whose channel that went on, but it's definitely yellow for 1776.
Yeah. Or the type, because there's like super stickers and shit, so I don't know.
Yeah. Sweet. Well, thanks for that super chat, Mr. Landfill. Okay. Of course, this topic came up today. Bitcoin is $67,000 to the moon!
Just getting started, baby.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying 200,000 on this run.
Could be.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time
out there.
First time I've opened the app, and you physically see it every couple seconds keep changing.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be fun. It's going to drop again before it goes up again, but it might all-time high before it drops again. We'll see. We did get over silver's market cap yesterday, which I predicted exactly 7 days before it happened.
Would you still buy currently right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
And here's why. I just saw this today. Wicked Bitcoin had it out. If you decided, okay, finally I'm going to listen to these crazy fuckers, and I'm going to buy $100 or $1,000 or $10, whatever, weekly, and you pick the worst fucking day in the last 3 years that you could to start something like that, which is the day that the last all-time high hit, and you did that every week up till now, your portfolio would be up overall performance 140%. So there's a point where you stop trying to game and time and whatever, and you just say, this is where my surplus capital goes to save it. And I wish I could have told people that, you know, 7, 8 years ago instead of fucking around with some of the shit coins and all. But it takes us all different amounts of time to get there. And I think Bitcoin's one of the places like smart people actually get hurt as much as dumb people because we try to outsmart everything. And it's so simple. Your mind goes, no, it can't. Because when you tell people work out and eat fucking meat, well, that can't be how you get in shape. Well, it's how you get in shape. Like, it's not hard, right? Be physically active and eat meat and fat. There it is. Done. And so everybody wants like some complex formula, a giant ebook or whatever. Take your surplus money, put it in fucking Bitcoin, go on with your life.
And stop doing other things.
And don't look at it when it goes up and down. That's the other thing. Well, look at it when it goes up. Don't look at it when it crashes and be like, man, I put $100 into this and now it's worth $50. And then pull it out, because I've seen people do that and then it goes up like this and they're like, oh, I missed it. I'm like, yeah, because you were freaked out about $50.
Yeah, and they had $100. It's always the people with like $100 to $500 that act like they went and they took their entire 401k and liquidated it and sold their house and bought like a freaking busted ass trailer to live in and put everything in all at once, and they have like $100, $150, and they're like, if it doubles, you have $300. If it goes in half, you have $75. Shut the fuck up and keep buying.
And okay, because John is worth another $2.08. He got 1984 on his super chat. Thank you.
All right.
So,
and it's also yellow, so the color coding didn't work. But it did work, because we got a super chat for everybody now.
Here's $5. Jack's a jerk for telling me to buy Bitcoin. My only regret is selling any. So
yeah, me too.
I think it is amounts, because Chicken Hawk Farmstead did $5 and it's green.
When Bitcoin was about $660, I bought a really beautiful $1,200 shotgun with one Bitcoin.
Holy shit.
We've all done it. But it was 2013 or 14 or something like that. I mean, it is what it is. It's,
if you'd have put your $1,400 stimulus check into Bitcoin on that day, what would you have right now? Over 60?
I think so.
Right over 60,000.
No, you couldn't get a full Bitcoin for $1,400 at that point. But it was like, I don't remember. It was pretty low. It had gone down in below 10.
The stimulus checks, which year? From
20, whenever it was. I never got
2020?
One.
2020?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So $1,400, it was probably around 13 grand.
Yeah, everybody worked it out on the lies the last few nights, and it was months ago. The number they were coming up with was like 32,000.
Okay, that's probably about right.
But now Bitcoin has gone up another 20 grand almost since a few weeks ago. I mean, if you'd have taken that $1,400, the simple way for people that are not aware to look at it is how many gallons of gas did it buy then, and how many gallons of gas does it buy now?
Good question.
A lot more.
A lot more.
A lot more. A lot more.
I paid my rent with Bitcoin back in 2017. Regret it, but I had to. I see. Here's how I look at that. Sometimes, so I paid off debt with half my Bitcoin in 2021, I think it was.
Okay.
And it was like December, Bitcoin was kind of up, but not super up. And I reached out to a friend, our friend John Bush. I'm like, should I do this? And he's like, well, I think it's going to go way higher. So if you do that, realize you are trading future increases for now. But the benefit that not having, like having the rest of my consumer debt just gone from a cash flow standpoint for me, I would say is still better, even though I use, you know, like what I use to pay off debt then is probably worth $20,000 now. I don't regret it though. So I think sometimes it's like when you make those decisions, you have to accept that you are making a decision now based on the information you have and your priorities, and what happens later at that point doesn't matter. Like it doesn't matter that Jack's shotgun is worth like 2 Bitcoin now because he can't change it. It's like when you sell a house and then 10 years later, that market goes through the roof and you're like, now my house would be worth $2.3 million and I sold it for $200,000. It's like, yeah, but
where do you live now, right? Like you bought another house or something. Like, yeah, if you look at it that way, back in 1996, I bought my first house for like $84,000. I guarantee you that house is worth 2.25 today. Did I lose money because I sold the house at a $15,000 profit 9 months after I bought it? No.
Are those prices coming down?
That's a good question.
Like on the housing market, right?
Oh, on the housing?
Like today is the good old days, right? We are talking about how things were 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Housing, real estate, you might see come down, but stuff like ammunition, firearms, stuff like that, those prices are never coming lower. This is the new price. This is just how it is.
Inflation is cumulative, and they play a big game when they say something like inflation's down to 3%, but you're ignoring the fact that it was like over 2 years, almost 20%. So that 3% is on top of the 20% that we're not supposed to pay attention to anymore because it was transitory, right? Yeah. It's just nonsensical words, and they prey upon the ignorance of the American people. Like the things that should be taught in like economics 101 in like eighth grade are not taught in college economics courses. That's how bad it is. And that's why, and then we've, at the same time, we've made people dumber and we've convinced them that they're smarter. That's like the ultimate in mental control. Convince a dumb person that they're smart. Right. I mean, that's, you've got it. You've got it done. Once you can make people intentionally stupid, right. And I don't mean low IQ. I mean like believing they know a thing that's not a thing. And you convince them they've been educated to a level where they're better than other people. You can get them to do anything you want. Like, I don't know, you know, put a cloth on their face and walk around over a cold.
Some of them still are.
Oh, they are. They exist.
Yeah. The only thing I've seen come down in price is dimensional lumber and, you know, plywood and stuff like that. It's come down a lot. Kind of back to normal from a few years ago.
Yeah, it's going back up though. It's gone up. We do a weekly shopping report on my podcast, and it went from 325 to 338 for 2x4x8, which is what we've been tracking for a couple of years. And so it is going, lumber is going up right now.
Eggs
went up $1 a dozen at Aldi in the last 2 weeks.
That price, is that whitewood or pressure treated?
Whitewood.
Okay. So that's lumber. Okay. All
right. I had never seen whitewood until the last couple of years. We used to have Douglas fir, and now there's Douglas fir, whitewood, cedar, and then pressure. But I had never seen anything called whitewood until just recently.
It's just yellow pine.
Got it.
It's yellow pine.
It's the number one commodity grown timber crop in America. Like 90% of Louisiana and East Texas is pine.
15 years as pulp, and then 30 years as poles.
Yeah.
Question, brief description of Swan for those that don't know, Jack.
It's just a place you buy Bitcoin. They're a Bitcoin-only broker. So you can deposit money, buy Bitcoin, withdraw Bitcoin. That's it. Like you can't. The one thing about Swan is it's not an off-ramp. I don't think you can sell inside Swan. You just buy and keep.
You just buy. Question, any tips or advice on how to start a grave digging business?
I would suspect there's all kinds of nonsense. You got to be in the club to start doing it. I would guess. I don't know that.
Get a job with a funeral home and learn how to do it.
Yeah, learn the industry.
There's all sorts of, you know, we're taking it seriously, and that was probably a joke. But, you know, there's that funeral directors make good money. They make good money. And so if you start working there, like the easiest entry level job I've heard to get is the one where you are on call in the middle of the night to go pick up bodies from people's houses.
Body. I have two friends that started a body pickup business, and they are making fat money.
Yeah,
one of them was working in a trauma center as a pretty high speed nurse in there, and he quit that. They're making huge money.
I definitely feel the death care industry is one of the biggest scams ever perpetrated on Americans, and in fact, Westerners. It's crazy what we pay to put somebody to rest. It's nuts. But if you want to make money, it's not a bad industry. There's a mini series, or not? It's like some kind of like made for cable series called 6 Feet Under, and we tried watching it, and it was just awful. But the part of it that's really weird and telling is, you know how you see these commercials like for a mop or something? Like in this show, they constantly have these commercial breaks that show up that are like for funeral director products. Like, how would you market something like a ShamWow to the funeral care industry? And it's like, you're like, that's really bizarre. But if that's your world, it probably would work. You know, like, do you not like the smell of your, you know, your embalming room? Well, we have this new deodorizer thing or whatever, and it's like all kinds of shit like that.
Follow up, honest question. Great job currently as a contractor considering buying some digging equipment and helping people reclaim death from the funeral industry. Well, okay, so in Tennessee, I can bury my people on my property. There is a process for that. And then I might want somebody with like a backhoe or something helping me with that if I had to do it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would put it out there before you buy the equipment and rent the equipment if you close a deal. And then you have to think about all your marketing around how you find the people who to pay you to do that. But, you know, like you can rent a backhoe for $300 to $600 a day, depending on what it is. I've got a guy I can pay to work for me that I can do this for and just outsource it to him. So
I love niches. I just don't see that as a niche. I think like if you're doing that on your own land for your own family, a hole's a hole. I don't know that you need the backhoe guy for funerals. Like anybody with a backhoe or an excavator. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. But if you're going to have a graveside thing and want the lowering thing, that would be something I could see, like a mobile burying service that puts up the tent to keep the rain off and has the astroturf around there for people so they don't get muddy feet. Like you could actually put something together that might be a premium sort of service. I'm not sure what all of that costs. We just had to bury a ram and we had to dig a hole big enough for a human, and we did that with shovels. By we, I mean tactical. I did not dig that hole.
I'm looking for it right now, and I can't find it. I had someone on the show years ago about doing natural funerals and, you know, taking that on yourself, but I can't find it right now. I'll try to find it later and add it to the audio version of this when it goes up on my site because I just can't find it right now. You would have thought funeral would find it, but it doesn't.
Yep.
But I'm not hallucinating. We did this episode. She talked about how you wrap the body and all kinds of stuff. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, our funeral home, and one of them, we have, surprisingly, I think we have three of them in town. They just have a mini X on a trailer, and it sits right next to their hearse at the broke-down gas station next to the funeral home. And he's got a nice excavator. I mean, business is definitely good in the funeral industry. I think that's one of the top. You know, you have the sex industry, the religious industry, and then the death industry. And I think church is at the top of the industry. Well, no, sex probably is. But those are the three. Consistently over entire history, those have been the three top-tier industries.
Well, dying is something that everybody does.
Yes.
Right? It's 100% guaranteed you're not getting out of this alive, right? So.
Yep. And I'd be curious, too, like, and I don't know if it's municipal or federal or state, do we have to, if you're burying a body on your own property, do you have to put it in a casket and then put it inside the concrete sarcophagus that they do in normal cemeteries? Because like, even when you go cremate a body, I think they wanted like $7,000 when I had to have my mom cremated. And I remember I knew the dude doing it. He was married to one of the daughters next door. And there's no consumables to that other than natural gas. I think that's the only, other than, you know, time. There is not a consumable product that goes into that once you own that equipment.
What I just learned, and I don't even know why I learned it. I'm not sure. I don't remember how it came into my orbit, but that if you are a veteran that's honorably discharged, you can be interned at Arlington for very little money, but it will be in one of the crematorium little things.
Mausoleum things.
And if you are a spouse of a veteran intern there who has been married to that veteran for more than 4 years, you can go there too.
And you can go to your local veteran cemetery as well. So, like, okay. I know this because I've lost a lot of family members who were veterans, and they ended up not. I have some in Arlington, but some who died in Oregon didn't want to go to Arlington. You'll wait like 6 months for your funeral there, by the way, for 6 months or more. And they just went to the local veteran cemetery. Gotcha. I think every state has one. I don't know if they have them in regions of states. Like in Oregon, I know the one is in Portland that my grandpa went into.
From what I got out of the Arlington thing, like, you would take care of the cremation yourself and have like a local ceremony or something. And then eventually they would, and if anybody wanted to go, they could go. So like, it's just what happens to your ashes after the fact is what I got out of it. And I could be wrong.
My grandpa was buried in Arlington, my other grandpa, and my grandma was on ice for 8 months at the funeral home where, in her local one, and then they transported the body to Arlington for her interment, and she's buried on top of her husband. Yeah,
that's a more traditional burial.
I don't know if like the cremation versus it, do you get a casket spot is controlled by rank or how that works, but he was in a casket and she was in a casket.
It has a lot to do with overall service. Like that's a thing of honor. That is a very high honor. There has to be something that he did at some point that rated that. Cause I was always under the impression that veterans just didn't get to do that. But apparently there's a whole huge segment of the cemetery dedicated to that.
I have a friend, my best friend in high school killed himself, and he was in the Navy, and they cremated him and put him in one of those things. So, yeah, that was fun. So somebody said, I had to pay a tax to get my mother-in-law's ashes. It cost me $35 to keep my word. She rides in my trunk.
Yeah, and apparently it's a crime when you take the ashes and spread them around the United States or into the ocean. I think there's some nonsense about that, too.
Yeah, we're doing it anyway.
And then if you ship it through U.S. mail, I believe that's a crime, or you have to pay a fee or something for that.
Okay, we'll bring this question up because we know we're going to get it 1,400 times during this live stream. None of us can get in. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the beginning of the zombie apocalypse, and we're just pleased to be with each other for this time.
Yeah, we're all dead tomorrow.
Yeah. And I bet you now if we went out and looked, people are screeching other places about it.
It's amazing how little you care when you don't use it anymore.
I use it. But I mean, I have alternatives.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not what pays the bills for me. So I'm on Facebook apparently right now, but nobody can see me.
I said I'm on Facebook apparently right now, but nobody can see me because nobody can get into their account. So somehow my live stream over there is working because if it doesn't work, then it would not, like, if you look at the top of the StreamYard room, right, you could see all the sources we're on, and Facebook has a big green check mark. So I guess Zuckerberg's watching us.
It's too convenient. Facebook is too convenient to not use for me. In the middle of the night, I can say what I want to say. I can tag 15 people and it goes out to them. And when they wake up in the morning, I have an answer. Whereas if I have to use other apps, it's just more cumbersome when I can take that thing and share it. If I'm on Instagram and I'm sharing stuff, I can click as many people I want if it originated from Instagram. I can't with other things. It's too easy to go from YouTube to Facebook to not use, or YouTube to Facebook Messenger to not use it.
Now, okay, so Disney has a whole crew that somebody said that cleans up ashes from their park. It's a huge problem for them. Now, I would say spreading ashes on private property, you might want to, I can understand like If I don't want your ashes on my property, I can say no, right?
Yeah. I would question how you would even know that. I mean, aren't you spreading them to the wind? You're not just like pouring out a pile of ash.
I guess it depends on how people do it. Like, I mean, if it's from a big ride,
you're talking about something like that container right there. Yeah. Like, that's about how much is left of a person. And I mean, I've thrown ashes all kinds of places, not just some people's ashes, but like, it doesn't like persist for very long. It like washes into the ground, and I don't understand how that's a problem. And where is this place that there's like so many people spreading ashes that it, what park is this? Is this like the park of death, or like what, why would that, I've never seen anybody spread ashes in a park. I don't understand. Now, we did one time, I was in Florida at Sanibel, and Bones and Amy came up and were hanging out with us, and my wife and Nurse Amy were all freaked out. They thought it was some kind of like horror movie, like all the people were being weird and all. It was like, I don't know, Children of the Corn. They were like, the two of their minds were just making all this crap. But, and what it ended up being, the whole family was there to spread ashes on the beach. And then they washed away. Where is this place? Who is this saying this? Where? Oh, Disneyland.
There's way worse shit.
Yeah, Disneyland. I can see how that could happen.
There's way worse stuff. It's probably on the ground everywhere at Disneyland.
What kind of sick, demented person would want their ashes spread
at Disneyland?
I could see it, man. There are people whose entire life is Disneyland. I could imagine. I can see it.
Wow. Okay.
Do you know you used to be able to shoot rifles at Disneyland? They had real fishing one? At Disney. Yeah, real rifles. They had 22 ranges at Disneyland. Okay. The Modern Miracles of Eugenics was a display at Disneyland. Modern Chemicals, sponsored by Monsanto, was a thing at Disneyland. They had a bikini thing at Disneyland. Like, there's a pretty awesome YouTube channel called Defunct Land, and he talks about all the past amusement parks and just how crazy some of it was compared to today.
Huh.
Yeah. Okay, wow. So this question I can't respond to because I don't have enough information. Okay. Do you guys have more information than I do?
That really is like the only thing you need to know, what he just said there, which is that Trump was kicked off the ballot in Colorado in some other cases. It went to the Supreme Court for Colorado, and the Supreme Court came back 9-0 and said, no, you states can't do this.
I needed to know which case because I'm not keeping up to the minute tabs on things like that.
The only big deal about this that's fun is that the left is literally
losing their shit.
Mental, complete, total incapacitation. Keith Olbermann's peeing on himself or some shit. Like, it is comical to a level that makes you want the Orange Man to win in November, because what will that do?
Right?
You know, like, and people say, well, they're going to riot. Come on, bitches. Let's go. Come riot in the country and see what happens. I'm not worried about that. That doesn't bother me at all. Now, the three liberal justices and Comey Barrett both wrote some things that were like, the media is trying to spin it. Is there an opposition? No, they voted 9-0 to you can't do this. But the scope of the decision, they basically said the only people that can do this are the legislature, because Article 5 of the 14th Amendment says the power rests with the legislature. It's kind of like the Second Amendment. It's really, 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 really clear, unless you don't want it to be. And so what the four justices said is that the Supreme Court should not have issued that opinion because they weren't asked that question. Right. But if you're going to say this doesn't work, then you have to say why it doesn't work. Right. What is the justification for saying? So what they're saying is the Supreme Court should just came out and say Colorado can't do that with no explanation. Which I don't think that works there. The Article 5 of the – I'm a constitutional person, right? So the Article 5 of the 14th Amendment says the power rests with the legislature, period. Like, it's a very short one sentence.
Okay. Cool. I want to point out, because there's still some scuttlebutt in the comments about social media, that Radio Made Easy said, buy radios, the original social network. And he will be speaking at Self-Reliance Festival on April 6th and 7th about developing your off-grid communication plan so you know what to do. And he's right there to provide you with things you can buy to get set up to be able to communicate with people. So selfrelianceFestival.com, worth the price of admission just for that. We've got both a power off-grid planning session and a comms off-grid planning session. And radiomadeeasy.com is also where you can get him right now.
Not only that, I am hosting him for a two-day class immediately after SRF, so you want to come in and learn how to use this stuff. He does it without the gatekeeping. No sad hams. No, oh my God, you have to have a license. He's going to teach you everything, and you're going to actually use this stuff in motion. You're going to see the real capabilities at distance from point A to point B. How many of us have Baofeng radios, for instance, that you can buy for $38, and we have two of them, but they don't talk to each other. You're going to go through, you're going to program all your stuff, and you're going to know the insides and outs of this. And it's going to take you about 8 hours a day for 2 days. And we're all going to hang out. We're going to be here on the property. So if you want to attend that, make sure you come out to that.
Will those radio classes be available for the online tickets? Okay, so I am posting a link today that leads you to Evan's class registration, I think. Because I think he sent that to me. Evan, if you haven't sent that to me, send it to me. But I think you can get him at radiomadeeasy.com right now for that two-day class.
Online?
Online.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. I mean,
I don't think Radio Made Easy is doing an online class.
No, he's selling the tickets online.
Correct.
Oh, you mean if you get the digital pass? Well, no, we are not live streaming that class. It's not a really good.
That's what I was saying. I didn't think so.
It's not something about learning how to use radios hands on. You want to do it hands on. You want to come and do it hands on, make mistakes, see what happens, see how you get past those things. It's kind of like learning how to shoot a gun online.
That's a good example. That's a really good example.
Like you can learn some things for sure, but like go take an actual class. Go get fighting pistol under your belt or fighting rifle at TAC Response or something, because you don't want to mess that up.
Well, if you haven't
learned, need radio communications, you don't want to mess that up.
And if you haven't learned online yet, you're probably not going to learn that online.
Yep. I live in a bowl. No radio gets out unless I go to the top of the mountain. Then you need to put something at the top of that mountain. That's the solution. Where I live in a teacup, the same thing here.
That also can be good. I mean, there's stubby antennas to limit the distance so that when you are just intercommunications, other people do not hear you.
Yep. This question here about the mega pass, which got changed somewhere. Ah, here it is. I just hit the wrong one. Jose, the mega pass is being done differently this time because there are multiple class options before Self-Reliance Festival. So putting a weird variable project online was going to be strange. So the mega pass, we're announcing it this week. If you buy a pre-event workshop, the Self-Reliance Festival tickets, and a post-event workshop, and you can do either the Wild Edible Walk by Carrie, or if you buy Evan's class, I will just verify with him you bought his class. I'm going to have you email me, and then you get the digital passes included for free if you do those three things. So if you know you want to go to multiple things, grab your tickets, and if one of those things is Evan's class, then let me know about that, and we'll get you set up with a free digital pass, which gets you access to all the recordings, and we'll also toss in a T-shirt in the sizes that we have on site. These are the T-shirts right there. That's actually going out this week in the email, which goes out today. So, okay. Back to okay. So people are interested in Bitcoin today, but let's talk about seeds. Cause you know, last time we did this, all we did was talk about growing food. It was really fun. In your seeding video, you talked, Jack, about iron zinc, but didn't say what you use. Thanks. Let's tell them why you talked about that. And then tell them what it is.
I think he's speaking, and then there's a link right there. You can go to my site and type in zinc or iron, and you'll find it. Just don't get the one for people. Get the one for plants. I said that as an aside. You probably aren't going to need iron, zinc, or calcium, magnesium with seed starting if you're using good starting medium. But your primary nutritional deficiencies in plants that are common are going to be iron or zinc or calcium and magnesium. And a chelated form of that will get straight into the plant. So I recommend something for both of those if you notice things like chlorosis forming around the plant. And the reason I do that is simply because most people are not going to be able to look at a plant that's nutritionally unhealthy and figure out which one it is. The chlorosis will start from different points on a leaf or whatever. But 95% of the time, assuming you have a decent fertility program, it's one of those four. And each one of them requires a partner. So if you have lots of calcium but insufficient magnesium, the plant will be deficient in both. And if you have lots of iron but no zinc, the plant will be deficient in both and the other way around. Just like humans, we need both of those things to uptake the other one. So I recommend those, because if your plants look like shit and everything else is okay, that will probably fix it. So I wouldn't get in a wad about it. The reason I say it's an aside is, again, I've never used either in seed starting. I must have set it as like a more forward-looking thing, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it would do in seed starting. Because what nutrient are they grabbing the second that root comes out? They're like starting to establish their relationship with the network.
Biology. That first thing that plant wants is a fungal association. That is the most important thing. And if you don't have a good fungal-based compost in your mix, then I recommend Dynomyco is the brand I recommend. I'll find that in a second, throw it in the chat, which is a mycorrhizal fungi inoculum. And that will do more for you than iron or zinc ever will in a seed starting situation. I'll grab that right now while y'all chat.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something I do along that lines, Jack, is for the rapid rooter plugs for the things I'm putting in a water-based system.
Yep.
I actually, when I'm doing seedlings, because I do them straight in there, I sprinkle the compost over them.
Okay, that absolutely.
Because that way it's like, okay, at least they get that fungal, the opportunity to establish fungal relationships when they germinate. So having finally gotten off my butt and started the seedling process yesterday, that is what I was doing. And then our compost has like garden soil in it when we make the just to sort of make them all one thing. I don't know. That's what we do anyway.
So this is the product I recommend for mycorrhizal inoculum. You can find it on my site. And if you read the instructions, it sounds very expensive, but realize that the industry that uses this stuff the most is the cannabis industry. And adding like a dollar to the cost of a plant to those people is, it's like you adding a penny to the cost of a steak. You just don't care. So it's a living thing. So I use like per start, I use like a pinch of it. So one bag of that stuff, which is about $30, will last me a full season. And honestly, since I don't trust it to remain viable for a full year around, whatever's left toward the end, I just use it all on plants. And it is the number one thing I have done to improve my results overall, more than anything else that you can buy anyway.
How long does that bag stay good for? Could we use it years from opening it?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. They say 1 year. You know, it is encapsulated. Like if you look at the granules, it looks like when you take a time release capsule and it's got the little balls inside it. So it does have some protection, but it's, you know, it's fungal spores. I would imagine a year later, it'll still work. It just will probably, just like a drug, start to decline in efficacy across time. So I pretty much buy one a year.
All right.
And you know, that's my favorite brand right now. I don't care what you use though. When I look at the quantity and the quality to the price value ratio, that's the one that I selected.
Sounds good. Okay. It sounds to me like Legendary Farm needs to come to Self-Reliance Festival April 6th and 7th and talk to us about all of these things, because we connect people from near you in Crossville coming. We have
The zombies got Nicole.
Well, we have Matt and Gabby, who is very local to me, that does have a little tree nursery going on, and they listed several fruit trees a couple weeks ago, and I sent that to Nicole, and she goes, "That's Matt and Gabby," and I said, "Oh, I didn't even realize that was them. They're probably 20-30 minutes from me. They do frequently come to SRF. If you search Marketplace, you will find a ton of tree nurseries here in Tennessee." And a lot of those are just guys, you know, starting their own trees. You'll find a ton of that stuff around Collierville and Nashville and such.
Yeah, she's gone. She'll be back.
She'll be back.
Yeah.
Fall, spring. So everything here blooms up. The last 4 years, we've had everything bloom up and then freeze, and then we didn't get any kind of crops for the last few years other than figs. This year, it looks like we're holding. It does not look like it's killing off any of the buds. The peach trees are absolutely beautiful here right now. Every couple hours, you can just see more of them opening up. And then we put in, I think we put in 30 more fig trees this last year, as well as a bunch of other trees. So the fig, and for us, at least here in Camden, Tennessee, that fig crop is a high calorie crop, and it always works no matter what for us.
And you blueberries get good deals. Well.
You get huge, good deal. Yeah. Yeah. And I put in, I had, brown turkey figs, which have done really well. Those trees were, you know, 10 feet tall probably. And when it gets really cold, they'll snap to the ground, and every year they just come back bigger. And then I put in a bunch of Chicagos because the Chicagos are even hardier, and yeah, they're the size of golf balls.
The thing about you know, you've got like no rock, so those trees are probably got roots 18 foot at this point in your soils, so they'll survive anything. Like you said, even if they get knocked to the ground, they'll survive anything. Like if you go look at ancient, couple hundred year old recipes, like from frontier days in the United States, a lot of recipes don't call for sugar because they didn't have it. They call for chopped figs. That was like you planted fig trees in the homesteading days, so you had a sweetener. And they, you know, they dried them, and they're like a dried fig is something like 45% sugar.
And then as the Indians would migrate too, you know, they would plant those trails as they were going. So as they would come back and forth, they would have just like Johnny Appleseed dropping, you know, planting apple seeds and stuff. So
do you know you can get a Johnny Appleseed apple tree?
I think I've heard you say that before. Yeah.
Raintree has them. They're from a tree that was originally planted by Johnny that they take seed from and they make new trees.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Kerry, we had Kerry come out. We shot a video with him a couple months ago. He came out and planted 31 more trees here on the property. Kerry Brown.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see what else we got. Nicole runs these, so now we're all okay. Let's just go through some of the questions in order.
Cool.
Here. What app do you use to buy Bitcoin? This is one of those answers where I say, like, all my tools for buying Bitcoin are at the bitcoinbreakout.com/tools, but I really don't care who you buy Bitcoin from. And if I sound terse, it's because I've answered this question for 11 years. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And if you get five more sats or five less sats because this one has a different spread, I don't care. Buy it, withdraw it, and it doesn't matter. John, what do you use?
So I use Cash App. It's so simple. Okay. I pay all of my contract employees in Cash App. Money comes in. I have it linked to a debit card. So I buy it through Cash App, and you can buy $5 or you can buy $5,000. And it's super simple there. And I have my employees, I'm like, look, put $5 every week into Bitcoin. And just they have a scale right there where you see today, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, and overall. And I go, I just want you to get comfortable with this and just put in $5. And then you can move it. You can move it anywhere you would move Bitcoin. You can put it on a wallet. I can send it, you know, anywhere from there. And it's so simple on Cash App to do that.
I buy mostly with Swan and Strike. But I don't care where people buy. This is like one of these things, like I see this as a little bit of a toolbox fallacy, not completely, because it is scary. I mean, the first time you buy it, like you're like, I'm going to do something wrong or whatever. But the same person that goes out and throws $200 on a dinner at a restaurant will worry about $50 worth of Bitcoin like it's their life savings or something.
They,
just go buy it, get a wallet, copy an address, and do a withdrawal. And over time, you're probably going to figure out, like right now with the way fees are, that you probably want to accumulate some on your brokerage and do a larger withdrawal. But again, if it's $50 your first time, just buy it and withdraw it. Strike is great. You know, learn about Lightning and everything else. But I mean, Strike is super easy. And Swan, if you have, what I like about Swan is they have great customer service. I don't want to be anybody's technical assistant in this. I do not help you figure out your wallet. I do not walk you through. John Bush does that. God bless him for it. I can't be that for you. I have other things to do. So I like to recommend things that I know if you need support, you're going to get it. And Swan will give you all the support you could possibly want. Swan will help you if you want to set up to where, let's say you buy every week, and then once a month, it will automatically withdraw to your wallet. And you won't have to do anything. Like you can set up direct deposit or a scheduled bank transfer. You can set up schedule buys, and you can set up automatic withdrawals. And so all you literally have to do at that point is just let money go in and let Bitcoin go into your wallet of choice.
And there's a YouTube video for everything explaining. I guarantee you can literally, the second largest search engine is YouTube. If you're not aware, you type a question in and there will be dozens of videos.
So Liberty Garden says, so Bitcoin is going up. Does it mean that U.S. dollar is going down? Because I know the value of land and gold isn't. Well, first of all, you don't know that. You have no fucking idea what the price of gold is going to be next year. And neither do I, and neither does Peter Schiff. So let's, if we're going to answer that question, let's start with being honest about what we don't know. Like, is Bitcoin going to be worth more money 12 months from now than it is now? I would say I believe so, but I don't know that. And neither do you, and neither does anybody else. Land prices are in decline right now. And houses are still not, but raw land, because I shop it all the time. Raw land has come down significantly over the last 2 years. So you don't know that. And I don't mean to be a dick, but nobody knows that. Like, I'm not saying I know and you don't. I'm saying I don't know, John doesn't know, you don't know. And anybody that says they do is probably trying to sell you something.
And if you're waiting to buy –
go ahead.
If you're waiting to buy land a couple of years, you're going to be a couple of years behind.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you might get it cheaper, but even if you bought land right now and improved it, like, you could refinance it, or you could, you know, add a structure, and then there's a ton of stuff you can do. But most dudes waiting for a better market or something, they're not going to do shit when there's a better market anyways.
Well, what if there's a better market, but interest rates are double?
Yeah.
And you don't have cash.
Even if you owner finance shit, you're going to pay twice as much. But could you owner finance raw land? Could you not afford to make a payment of $1,000 a month? Show the journey and the evolution of the raw land through social media and get that crowdfunded. People like the wonderment. When we bought this old, abandoned, broke-ass building, out of excitement, we came over here every day and just shot a 30-minute video of me and the guys walking through to see what the contractors had done.
Yeah.
And we had thousands of people every night watching that and interacting on that video. And Amanda, she named it a couple months ago. I said, man, I'm just kind of bored. I want to buy a giant factory, like a huge factory. And people are like, what are you going to do with it? I go, I don't know. She goes, it's the wonderment. It's just the wonderment of it. I want an enormous, I follow this guy called Cold War Mercantile, and the city gave him for $1, they gave him an old Buster Brown shoe factory. And it's enormous. And he just shows the evolution, like he was cutting some of the fire suppression, the cast iron out and recycling it to buy glass to fix the windows. And he just kind of like just talks for 30 minutes or an hour inside. And it's like exploring the building as he walks around. And I can't stop watching him. And people are crowdfunding it and they buy his stuff. And it's like, it's viable. It's just people like to watch other people do what they won't themselves take the risk to do.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to help this person and they've put like one of these annoying fucking hover things that I can't close. So I'm not going too heavily right now, but, Better Together Homestead. They're right out of our community. Like they came here to one of our workshops, I think about 8 years ago, the first time, and got the bug that they're going to make something happen. They ended up buying some raw land north of Houston. They've built a beautiful house. I think they've pretty much paid for everything out of pocket, and much of it, you know, was covered by the income that they've made off of their journey. They've set up a Facebook group that you can't see right now because Facebook's down, but it's Shed to House.
Yep.
And it's got hundreds of thousands of people.
Huge movement every day. Huge.
Look at Nicole. She's back.
Nicole's back. And do I have bad? I mean, I don't have a mic here. I just went next door to get on Starlink.
It works. It sounds like it's raining. We're good. We got you.
Yeah. Cool. Sorry. Both my Wi-Fi and my home internet is now out. So that's why we have Starlink in the Holler Neighbors.
That's what I'm on right now, Starlink.
Yeah. So I'm going to blame mine on the giant thunderstorm that just came through.
It probably is why.
Yeah.
But we were talking about like getting what you want by acting now instead of waiting. And I was bringing, you know, these folks here, Nicole, you've met them right here, haven't you?
Yep.
Right. Bo Botherington and his family, Better Together Homestead. And what led to the question? Oh, she's gone again.
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay, you're just darked out.
I was just darked out.
Well, a lot of the questions somebody was asking about, you know, land prices and, you know, if Bitcoin is going up, this was the question. It's not here right now. Does that mean that does that mean dollars are going down because they know, K-N-O-W, know that gold and land isn't, right? And so we had a discussion about how, no, you don't know that. You don't know anything, and neither do I. We can guess. But John's point was, like, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're waiting to buy land because that's one of your dreams, you're just letting the opportunity slide at this point. Like, you could be doing it right now. Like, and what I was going to add to that before you got back is, and what don't you get done? So you wait another 5 years to buy your piece of land because you got a better price, even if you do. What could you have done in that 5 years? How much of that dash did you burn? Like, I don't know if you know this. All of you out there, you're all dying. You're all terminally ill. We kind of talked about with the death industry thing. You're all dying. 5 years from now, you're going to be 5 years older. And trust me, you hit a certain point where 5 years means a lot more than it did before. Like 25 and 30, like, there's not a lot of difference. 45 and 50, come on, guys, there's a difference.
It's all the guys. It's everybody saying, I need to get out of California. And you start saying that when you're 20, and then you're still saying it when you're 30. And when you wait till you're 40, man, imagine how much simpler your life would have been had you left California just 10 or 20 years earlier. We have a client, and he's like, as soon as something, he's got a couple more weeks or something, and he's leaving at age 60. He's in California. I mean, it'll be great for him. But I mean, just imagine how much faster you can move outside of California.
Well, I mean, here's how I look at that. When I was not quite 21. I had just gotten out of the Army, and I decided I wanted to move to Texas, and I lived in Pennsylvania. I took all my shit, I threw it in my car, and I drove to Texas. That was the entirety of the move. There was nothing more to it than that. I think about if I wanted to move right now, right? Let's say if I wanted to start a civil war in Tennessee, and I said it's between the Holler and Camden, and I got you guys fighting about it, and I want to move now. How much more, and I do well for myself, and I can work from anywhere. It's still more complicated than it was when I was 20 years old.
Yeah, it's cumbersome.
I got a family, right? Yeah. I got a place that I've put a lot of effort into, right? There is no easier time to leave where you are for somewhere else than right now. No matter how hard it is, it's going to be harder in 5 years.
Yep. Everybody has that.
The best thing I ever did from a monetary standpoint for myself was start a business. Period. End of story. Yep. And in order to do that, I had to learn skills. I had to start some things that didn't go well and learn from that. And pairing that with getting my overall need for what I needed to live, the cost of that down really helped, because when I go through ups and downs in cash flow, I'm not like, oh man, what am I going to do? I'm like, well, I grow my food, so I have food. So what else do I need? Like, I don't know. It's that has gotten me way further ahead in life than any get rich quick scheme or ClickFunnels scheme or any of those other things. Investing in gold scheme, investing in stocks. If I have enough money to invest, I will, you know, which I don't. I have some money in Bitcoin, but I don't have like a portfolio of stocks, because I'm not going to go into that with like a couple $1,000. I'm going to do that with enough to be able to be reasonable with my investments. Otherwise, it's about building the prosperity here and stacking wealth other ways.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got to look at it this way. Like, think of investing when you're going to invest, not something like a Bitcoin or a gold where you're just buying a commodity and holding it. You're actually going to say, I'm going to invest in SOE Tactical Inc. If John had gone and created a large C Corp and went public, why would I give John my money? Because I like him? No, not if I'm smart with my money, right? Because I think he's got a good business. Actually, no, it's not. It has to be more than that. I have to believe that if I buy $100,000 worth of SOE stock, that John Willis is going to do a better job with my $100,000 than I can, or I am a fool for buying stock in his company. That is the only reason you buy stock in anything. You believe the entity that you purchased the stock from can do a better job with your money invested in their company than you can in your own. And what you're saying is that on Nicole, the best ROI you would ever have would be investing your money in your own company, where you keep all the money instead of the money that's left after all of the phantom losses and everything else that they hold back on you. You know, yeah. People like when people were buying Masterlink because Masterlink was holding Bitcoin. I'm like, I'm glad Masterlink's successful. I really want to see them do well with this. But why the fuck would you do that? Right? Like, why would you buy Masterlink stock only because they're holding Bitcoin when you could just hold Bitcoin? Because Masterlink's not investing your money better than you can. They're not putting it to work better than you can. They're parking it in an asset class, which is a brilliant move by them. And I guess if you want to hold stocks and you have to buy stocks because of however your money's chartered, great. But in the end, if you just want Bitcoin exposure, buy Bitcoin.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of, like, I was talking to my dad about Bitcoin, and he was like, oh, hey, how do you feel about Bitcoin now? I'm like, well, the same way I felt about it before. And yes, I did notice that it went up in value, but that's kind of what I thought would happen. And he was like, maybe I'll buy one. I'm like, you could just buy part of one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I know, but a lot of people always say buy one. And it's like, well, yeah. You don't let not having $69,000 or whatever it's at this hot minute keep you from getting in.
It took me 2 years, Nicole, to figure out what the hell was going on with that. People would tell me it's too expensive to buy now, and I'm like, what? And finally, a brain cell clicked for me, and I went, oh, wait, these fuckers think they have to buy a whole one.
Yeah, because you have to buy a whole stock.
Not really. You can buy fractional stock shares.
I guess you can. Yeah. But
people buy $100 worth of a stock that trades at $800 on Robinhood all the time. Right? If you buy Alphabet, you can buy $100 worth of Alphabet. What's the share of Alphabet right now? Anybody know? I don't, because I don't play in that space anymore. But, you know, I think it's like 500 or 800 or something. Like, I know you can buy fractional shares. So I don't know where that came from. I guess if you're an old school boomer and you think you're going to send you a stock certificate and you're going to put it in your box, right? Maybe. I don't know.
Well, they didn't care enough to find out. It's just they want to be involved in the conversation with no execution.
Right into, okay. All right, what else we got? Is Nicole locked again?
It looks like maybe.
Nicole is locked again. Anyway, I got new birds.
What'd you get?
Jersey Giants.
Awesome.
Yeah, I got Jersey Giants because I need big, fat, lazy chickens that can't get on my porch.
Oh, that's, yeah. I have 60 chicks, all Tractor Supply. I just walk in and I'll take everything you have that lays eggs. And I have them in a brooder. I've got another 50 about to come out of a tractor and into a pen where they'll actually grow up. They're starting to lay eggs right now.
Do you get them like on a special deal when you do that? Because I've literally had them tell me I can have all of them for $1 if I'll take them all.
I never asked.
They start flying out of the stock tanks. They're like, just like, I'll give them all to you for $1 a piece or whatever.
But yeah, I never earn. I never ask them for a discount. I just buy them all. And I said, hey, it seems like you have them a little early this year. He said, no, this is when we normally get them, but we're going to actually carry them through the entire year now.
Yeah. So the place I get mine, the Tractor Supply near me, there was like a line of like 30 people waiting to pay and one person working.
Yep.
I went to change and started getting chickens out and marking the boxes and handing them to people and shit.
there's a Tractor Supply in one of the bigger cities next to us, and you'll walk in there and there'll only be one person. There'll be shit just everywhere in there that hasn't been unpacked. Stuff will be in the trailer still, out in the semi trucks, and then others are fully staffed. We'll walk into some places, I'm like, man, you guys are really staffed well, and then other places just have nobody still.
Yeah. Yeah. The one here, like, I don't know how they're in business. There's a giant Atwoods, which is like Tractor Supply on steroids. It's like a Costco Tractor Supply. Like, it's everything. It's boots and cowboy hats and guns and ammo and everything. And they're doing something right when it comes to hiring. Like, if you ask somebody something, they either know or they know they don't know and they know who will know. Tractor Supply, if I was a dishonest man, I could probably go down there every Tuesday afternoon, load my pickup truck with shit and just come home with it. Like, yeah. I've literally been in there wanting to buy like one thing and been in the back room going, hello, is anybody here? Like, that store could not exist in like LA or something. It would be completely, totally cleaned out. How do you do that? How do you run a business that way?
Well, I don't think they are running a business.
I mean, it's like nobody. I mean, no people. Like, five people are walking around the store throwing shit in shopping carts, and there's nobody there.
Yeah, you walk into some places, and you're like, oh, there's no adults here working.
Yep. And then the one person that is working, like, okay, they had to take a dump or something. Like, they have no choice.
Yep.
And then when they come out, they're, like, killing themselves trying to keep up with everything. And you're like, God, go to Atwoods. They'll hire you. But is anybody else got new birds? You got new birds, John. What'd you get? Just mixed?
Yeah, I got some barred rocks. There's some buff Orpingtons in there. Couple other things I hadn't heard of. Everything just said prolific egg layers, so yeah. That's what I bought.
I want a Jersey rooster now, but they had only pullets, and so if anybody near me has Jersey Giants and has a rooster, I will take a rooster from you.
I saw some chickens that looked really big today, and it looked like their heads were dipped in black paint, and then yeah. They had like a black lower half. I don't know if they're real or not. They seemed like they were, but they kind of like Brahmas, except there's real clear separation between the coloring on them.
Jerseys are usually black, but there's a black and white phase. It might be them.
Maybe. You're going to start seeing chickens just like ball pythons. You'll have all kinds of like different color patterns and stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to incubate my birds this year from my flock. I would love to have another American breast rooster from a different line. But I'm just going to see what happens with what I have right now. I have four females and one male, and then I have a random yard chicken who's been around for 6 years, so she just gets to retire. She's the one who stopped working in my duck coop, so but I like the American breast meat a lot. It's pretty flavorful.
Yeah, you were saying you did eat a couple and they were pretty good, but you didn't fatten them or whatever.
Yeah, if you finish them on grain, that's how you get the marbling, apparently. But we just did our normal, like, pasture-raised and processing. Their white meat is closer in flavor to dark meat. So if you don't like dark meat, you are not going to like American breast chickens.
Okay.
I would prefer.
And their breasts are not big.
Yeah, I would prefer to just have all dark meat.
Same.
There's a Jersey Giant.
Wow.
That's cool.
Big birds. They're called the triple purpose chicken because they brood. They are big enough for meat and they produce a lot of eggs. Ironically, their eggs are like no bigger than your typical chicken. Like they don't lay a giant egg and the babies are just like a normal puffball baby, but that's what they turn into.
I would mark that as a pterodactyl in my freezer.
They were bred to replace turkeys when nobody ate chickens because chickens were so small that they weren't really worth eating. Like people ate chickens as like coal birds or whatever. There wasn't really a chicken meat industry. And the number one bird people ate was turkeys. But the problem was turkeys only lay once a year. So you can't keep production up. So that was the original reason that bird was bred. So we'll see. I don't know. That's it. I've just given you everything I know about them. We'll learn from here. Dean says kosher kings processed at 10 weeks are awesome. Let me tell you when they're not awesome. About 18 weeks. They're huge, but they're tough. Ben Falk gets them from, he used to get them from the Amish, and he would run them in electronet with his sheep through the pasture, and he saved them till I think it was like 16 or 18 weeks for a PDC that I was at. And he brought in like a professional chicken clean, like the guy that comes to your house with all the equipment. And he was like, some of the parts, like, you just tear this out and you just rip this and, wait a minute, let me get my knife. Like, things that he would just do with his hands, he had to bring a knife out on. And they had plenty of meat and they tasted delicious, but Ben just said to get them to that size, they were just too tough. So he went back to Cornish Cross for his meat.
Cornish Cross is so simple, man. It's just so easy.
Are you communicating with sign language? Okay. Oh, she's on. The, oh, okay. All right. We'll just keep going through here. Let's pick a random question. Don't get caught without a license now. I think he's talking about radio.
Come on, Sam. When's the last time somebody was prosecuted? You'll see prosecutions from FCC for stepping on radio stations, right? For high output, like pirate radio station kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they came in and told a dude, hey, knock it off. And he did it again, even with more power. And they said, hey, knock it off. And finally, they hit him with a real fine, and he continued to do it. Like, find a dude with just an HT keying up. You're not going to, now without your license, you're not going to go through those repeaters and stuff.
Yeah.
But nobody's coming. You'll get some dude that comes over because it's fun for him to DX you and chase you down.
Yeah.
But that's the extent of it.
Yeah. It's not everybody worries too much about everything. I think, I mean, that's my thing. I think we did the fruit tree one, I think, already.
Yeah, so Matt Hundley has one.
That's who I was talking about.
Crossville, but that's what I was saying. Just come to Self Reliance Festival, man. You'll start connecting with people. I got 3,000 pounds of coffee that was supposed to be delivered last Thursday, and they never told me they weren't coming. So they finally arrived now in the middle of this live stream. So that's what I was calling about. Like in half an hour, I have to go meet the coffee guy. Can you say your business has made it? When you need a forklift instead of giving a few packages to UPS, I don't know. Are you making a profit?
So my goal was I wanted UPS to bring me an entire truck, and they did. And then I wanted UPS to bring me a truck and a trailer, and they did. And then I wanted a semi truck. Now I want a train.
Or a train. Hey, they're taking all of that road easement from you. They might as well put a track in there, right?
I want my own spur. Or I want a barge to pull up.
You know, I just had a flashback of what's that Christmas movie? Santa Claus with Tim Allen. When the guy drops off the Santa list and there's like 80 freaking FedEx vans leaving, that's gonna be John's place.
It'll be awesome.
I got an idea. If you can get that level of shipping, then what you can do is put in a hub for them and lease it to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then make more money. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Function stacking.
There's dudes making money if they have a lot. There's guys making money on having rider trucks, you know, and U-Haul stuff. Guys make money on that stuff.
I think you could make money driving U-Hauls back to L.A. right now.
I think you could.
If you just called U-Haul and said, look, man, I'll tell you what, you know, it's $1,500 plus expenses. I'll move trucks back from anywhere, you know, within X thousand miles, you know, for you from Dallas or whatever, you know, because like they're running out of trucks.
Yeah.
They're running out of trucks. It's crazy.
Well, they're running out of ways to run the trucks. Like, have you been on the freeway lately? It's like semi, 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 semi.
Oh, no, I haven't.
And you'll get between those semi trucks for 20 miles and they're both just neck and neck. They don't move over. It's pretty wild. Somebody said hatch your own. Just sold a 1-year-old rooster for $15. I have a dozen enormous, super healthy roosters. I've got Brahmas, Barred Rocks, and Astralorps, and I've literally put them up to give them away, and I get 1,000 questions, and nobody comes and gets those things.
Yeah. Most people don't want roosters. They want layers. We did, though, when we went, we had like 75 chickens at one time, and when we got rid of them, we were selling 1.5-year-old pullets for $30. And this is pre-COVID. This is before everybody got into it. I think there is a business. And, you know, here's the other thing that I've learned with this, though. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. But nobody wants barnyard mix. People want breeds, right? So, but I think there is a business in, like, producing, like, Sussex or Rhode Island Reds or whatever, something that's big enough that you can eat the roosters because you're not going to get rid of them all, and tractoring them to, like, 8 to 12 weeks and selling them for more than you could sell me birds for. Because you will get for a grown out halfway to laying pullet right now, $25 to $30.
Every time I see somebody asking about the food bank, I'm like, I have chicken and dumplings. You just have to come pick them up. They're right here.
But you probably get all sorts of awesome internet hate for that, don't you?
Oh, the craziest. Like, you're in the middle of nowhere. I would think that somebody knows how to process a chicken.
Yeah, and cook with it. And if you don't, that's a skill that can help rise you out of poverty because you can stretch a chicken for multiple meals.
I didn't have any clue. Like the first one we killed, I always thought you cut its head off with an axe, right? Because that's what you always heard from grandma. So we had a bunch of chickens and one started crowing. So I shot him with a pellet rifle. And the next morning, another one was crowing. So I shot it with a pellet rifle. And we were just throwing them over the fence. So the third one, my daughter's like, hey, I got this thing. What do you want? I go whack its head off with a hatchet. And I didn't think she'd do it. And she did. So I come home and we've got this headless chicken. And I'm like, okay, so I'm reading on YouTube how to do this, or I don't even know if it was YouTube. It was just probably a forum or something. So I've got a scalding pot of water, the biggest pot I have that I can get on the stove, and I'm dunking this thing in the kitchen, and it smells like burnt hair all through the house. So yeah. we start ripping all of the feathers out, and we take it, and we have it all gutted out, and we put it on a pan, and Amanda throws shake and bake all over it, and we put it in the oven. That was my first chicken. To this day, I swear that was the best chicken I've ever had.
Yep. My first chicken that I processed, somebody else killed because they were roosting on his roof. And I was like, wow, you could eat those. And he went and handed them to me.
There's certain people where you have to be careful what you say.
So that's when Mark was here. So he skinned them and I stewed those birds because they were like 4-year-old roosters.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was delicious. It was very flavorful. Like roosters make a really good stew. Especially
delicious. They're just not something you're going to throw on the grill for 5 minutes. You know, like you got to do some work with them. We have what we call fence roosters around here. Fence roosters are when somebody decides that since they bought their chickens, and the Tractor Supply person who was supposed to be going to chicken college didn't, and they actually ended up with a rooster in their group of pullets. They don't want a rooster. Instead of being responsible for it, they drive around and look for a place like mine. Oh, look, he has birds. He'll be great. And they throw the rooster over the fence. The last one I got was like, it was like an autistic rooster. It would make these sounds. It was like running around screaming and I shot his ass. Like I tried to catch him and I'm like, no, I'm done. I went and got the Ruger and just popped his ass.
I put a thing on Facebook
of like, I just skinned him and parted him out. And I just said, if you throw roosters over my fence, just know this is what happens to them.
People do that with cats here.
Oh, geez.
Man,
I have more contempt for a person that does it with a cat or a dog than a rooster. Like I don't like it, but it is what it is. But
man, as a kid, we ate everything. We were eating robins and woodpeckers and doves and squirrels. Like we shot something every day. We shot something and cooked it. We would just put it on a pan with some Pam cooking spray and some salt and pepper. We ate everything, man.
Grackles are better than you'd think they'd be. They're not great, but they're not bad.
You guys know about the guy who like occasionally just throws something he shot in my fridge and I process it and get half the meat.
Yeah.
That dude went to an auction and he got a bantam rooster at this auction that looked, he had like a scrawny skin neck, but he had feathers. So he looked terrible and brings it to me because he doesn't take care of roosters or chickens, but he thought I'd like it. And he got it cheap at auction. Well, now we know why. So we named him Napoleon. Because he was a little bantam rooster, and that dude would not shut up. All he did was have his Napoleon complex in my yard. So I gave him to somebody else, and she was like, "Yeah, I finally shot that guy because she would not shut up ever. He just stood outside and crowed day and night, no matter what you did."
You need to keep a boomerang in the barnyard.
I gave Nick Ferguson a group of bantam roosters that I had a couple of years ago, and one of them that was like the screwed up one, the silky or whatever the hell he was, the weird ass one. He was a dick. And I think Nick said he didn't make it to Tyler before. He just like pulls the truck over on I-20, rolls the window down, reached in the box and just threw his ass out on the side of the highway. and that thing was the most fertile damn rooster I had. All these little mutant babies coming out. That's why I had to get rid of him. Like he was outbreeding everybody. Carl, we named him Carl, like Combat Carl. Carl the autistic rooster. And it wasn't a silky. It was something else. I don't remember what they call him now, but they have the twisted feathers. He was just a dick.
Yeah, I've learned that animals that are not nice on the homestead, it's like you have to nurture some and try to change their behavior a few times. Sometimes the answer is much simpler and faster.
Yep, soup or stew.
I have a crazy rooster. I have way too many roosters. And one of them waits till you turn your back and he comes running up on you and you hear him and you turn around and then he stands there and stomps his feet. But every now and then he'll run up there, so I'll boot that thing. And like I literally try to kill it every time that I have kicked it, but he does not die. He just keeps coming back for more. So it's just like a little game we play with me and the rooster out there.
Yeah, my wrist is terrified of me, but that's how it always is.
We've got a girl goose that started a nest. We're hoping she broods.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it would be. Well, she's a pilgrim, and a pair of pilgrims right now is like $100 for goslings from Metzer. And you can't get, they're already gone this year. You can't get them. So hopefully she'll actually sit. Last year she made a nice nest and then abandoned it. So hopefully she's got more experience.
And you got them for 18 years, most roosters, right? I mean, most geese.
Yeah, they live a long time. And they only lay in the spring, they lay like, you know, 10-year-old goose will still lay. They have, like ducks, they have 1,500 ovum, so they pretty much lay their whole life.
Right on.
Yeah, our ducks finally started laying again. We had to put them in duck jail. Because they were tossing eggs all over the yard. So we closed them in, like, a yard and their coop for 4 days, and now they stay in that yard till about 11 in the morning before they get access to the property. But
yeah, we're letting them out. 9 o'clock now. Usually they're out at like 6. That right now, they, if you let them out too early, they're making Easter eggs everywhere.
Yeah. And then you're like, do I eat this one? Do I not eat this one?
Our runners are the ones that tend to like pick a place and make a nest. The problem is, since they do that somewhere on property, they end up getting picked off by something at night. You know, so it and you try to move them and then they go off brood. So.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do about that. Except, like you said, duck jail.
Duck jail. That's the only way. But
the problem with duck jail when you have geese is when geese get broody, they start beating the shit out of other birds if they can't get away from each other, right? So if you got to make goose non, you got to like let the geese out and keep the ducks in jail.
Yeah, or have a really big jail.
A really big, no. No. Goose range is yeah, maybe it's like a 1 acre jail maybe, but like a typical jail, like they are, there's two things they hate: other birds when they're brooding, well, strangers, and sapling trees. It's a weird thing. Like a tree can be there forever and they're fine with it. You put a new young tree in and they see it and it's like, who the fuck put that there? And they start attacking it and they'll bite it until they destroy the cambium on it and they kill it. So if you have geese, you need tree protection for your own tree. And it's weird too. Like they are selective in their rage. Like you plant 10 trees and they hate 5 of them. And the other 5, they're just fine with, like, this motherfucker put this tree in the wrong place and I'm going to kill it.
Can you keep a lot of geese together, or are they just mean to like ducks or something?
Yeah. And they don't give a shit about the ducks except when they're broody.
Got it.
The rest of the year, they don't care. I mean, last year, I had to save a Rowan Drake. My granddaughter came and got me, and by the time I got outside, my wife thought he was dead. And we just had one of our huge ganders just beating the shit out of this duck. But he tried to mate with one of the females. So that was like, nope, not going to happen.
But he never did that again.
No. I was surprised he made it. He laid in one place for like 4 hours without moving. And, you know, a couple hours after that, he was fine, walking around like nothing ever happened. But he was in total shock. He was quivering. I felt bad for him. And my wife's like, "What should we?" I'm like, "Leave him alone. Just leave him alone, and maybe he'll be okay. He's in shade. He's got water. Let it go." They're pretty resilient. But geese, I wish I had more geese because they're way more sustainable than ducks are from a standpoint of a landowner because they love grass. Like, ducks eat some grass and forage some and all, but geese – graze like a little freaking cow, and they're just constantly grazing, and they eat as big as they are, they eat less feed, and they only eat it because it's there. You can do geese on grass, and you can do geese from gosling to harvestable size in 11 to 12 weeks 100% on grass. And you can't do that with any other poultry that I know of.
Nope. But then you have to have geese.
Yeah, the pilgrims are great though. That's probably why they're so expensive. I think that's another one of those trends I started, and now I can't afford to buy them. We have never had them attack people. I mean, just don't. Sometimes they'll do the whole, like, they fluff their feathers and they hiss at you and shit, but as soon as you take one step toward them, they're like, never mind.
You're never big.
Mind. The Toulouse, everybody said they're chill. No, they were assholes. We call them the Barnyard Mafia. They kicked Dorothy's ass so many times that one day I was out in the field and I hear screaming and yelling and honking. And so I come over to see what's going on, and the back of the SUV's up. There's like a giant mega pack of toilet paper from Costco laying on the ground. The geese are gone and the wife is gone. And I'm like, I know what happened here. So I go in the house. She goes, you'll never guess what happened. I'm like, the geese attacked you. They bit you. You threw the toilet paper at them and ran in the house. She goes, did you see? I'm like, no, I saw the evidence. Like, that's all I needed to see.
I wish you had a camera, don't you?
Oh, that would have been great. I've got a picture somewhere Josiah, my intern, took. And it's this kid that came over with his dad to look at the property. And I'm like, just don't run from him. So the first thing the kid does when the geese come is run. And Joe got a picture of this kid. Like, he's like in a full tilt run trying to go around a tree. And the goose has its head just all the way. Like, its mouth is like an inch from this kid's ass. Like, fully stretched. And I'm like, you should have put the camera in rapid mode because you would have got the full-on ass-biting sequence if you'd done that. But this kid's face, man, it looks like that meme with the little girl with the hot dog running away from, like, the baboon, except it's a giant goose. Don't run. The rules with geese are like snakes. If you get bit, don't react. Right? If you get bit by a ball python or a corn snake, John, what happens? Absolutely nothing unless you pull away. If you pull away, then it hurts. So that's the thing with geese. Let them bite you. Nothing happens. Two of my ganders got into it Saturday. I grabbed one by the wings and picked him up. He reached over and bit me on the bicep. And then you see his eye kind of come up like, maybe I probably shouldn't do this because this goose is really big and he's got me up in the air. So he chilled out and put him down. And yeah, they're fun. They're fun. Go get some. My geese on their tongues. It's not been my experience.
My two geese break up any fights in the pens that they're in. And they also break up mating. They don't want any mating, and they don't want any fighting. They're always in the middle of everything.
That was my dog until recently. My Charlie's gotten to where he's really old now, and he's just not doing anything. But any kind of, like, fighting or excessive breeding, he would just go out there and knock the shit out of him, and he'd come back all fucking happy, like, look what I did.
Yeah, we call that the sheriff.
Yeah.
Like, Sage, my German Shepherd lab mix, she was the sheriff. She would break up any fight, and when she died, Chestnut took over the position of sheriff. Yeah. So cats that are growling at each other, separated, all of it. I actually watched a dog in my yard yesterday walk up to the yard chicken, and the yard chicken submitted, smelled the chicken's butt, and walked on, and I was like, wow, I've never seen that. Usually the chickens run. Geese are terrorists.
I like them. I'm telling you, like, people way overreact to them. Here's if you have an aggressive goose flock, and I could never teach my wife this, which is part of why we got rid of that other breed, just get down on one knee and let them come after you. I'm not kidding. I'm not setting you up. I'm not doing a Siegler here. Just let them come after you. Know when they stick that head out, just smack them. Don't, like, remember that the bird weighs 12 pounds and you, like, are a 200-pound man. Do not, like, freaking King Kong Bundy smack Hulk Hogan down him. Just, and it takes about three times of that head coming out and getting smacked, and they're like, yeah, I'm not going to do this anymore.
And any time they're out there, they hiss and their neck's extended, I just grab them by the neck.
Yeah.
The neck is very skinny. It's the feathers, right? You don't have to harm them. Pick them up. They don't want to be picked up. They will stop doing that.
If they're running past you and you reach up and grab them like this under the chin, they just lock up. Yep. If you do that when you're in front of them, though, there's about a 50% chance they're going to wing beat you in the face. And I'm telling you, the amount of force a 12-pound bird can exert with its wings into your nose is impressive. It's not going to lay you out or anything, but it may give you a bloody nose. You only make that mistake once.
I know that from processing turkeys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, there she goes again. Nicole's, I would have thought the NWO would target me and you, John, not Nicole.
Man, Nicole's turkeys were bit. We went to a turkey processing last year, and Amanda did our turkey, and those turkeys were enormous that she had.
Yeah, yeah. She did the broad-breasted? Because that's what I've always done. They're huge.
We did they were the white ones, the big, big white birds.
The broad-breasted whites, yeah. I do the bronze, but they're the same size. They're biggest one we ever did, dressed carcass weight, 56 pounds.
Man,
56 pounds, and the freaking necks were like my forearms. Like, the neck was a meal for my wife and I. A neck.
Turkeys are so pretty, man. And if you have a couple of if you have a couple of males out there, when you clap, they'll just, or if there's a gunshot, they always gobble.
They gobble. Yeah. We also had, like, with the broad-breasted, the gobblers would fight, and they would eat that, not the wattle, the thing that comes off the nose, once that would grow, they would grab each other's and just start pulling on it, and they'd be pulling each other's heads to the ground, and it would, and you're like, that can't be good. And, but, you know, nothing really ever came of it, so.
Yep. We would come in after a big thunderstorm, and we would always have a gobbler that was dead. I swear they get struck by lightning or something. There's no rhyme or reason to it, but big thunderstorm, dead turkey pretty frequently. I don't know what was killing them. It has to be lightning or something. I don't know what was doing it.
Huh. I've never had any of them die like that. We did have one year, we had like a Jack the Ripper gobbler, and he was killing other birds in his flock, including hens. Like, we finally figured out who he was because we caught him, and he had, like, it looked like a hawk attacked the back of this hen, and it was him. He was on her just trying to kill her. So he graduated early that year. Unfortunately, so did the hen because she was so damaged that he just couldn't do it. I've got a place about 45 minutes from here that I get my processing done at. They do my turkeys for $8 a bird. I will totally pay them $8 a bird to process 50-pound turkeys. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
It's too much work. It's amazing, though. Like, we'll throw three in, like, a big dog crate, and it takes two grown men to put them in the truck. That's how big the frickin' things are, you know? They're, if a bird's 60 pounds carcass weight, or even 50 pounds carcass weight, live weight's probably at 70 pounds. Three of them, they're looking at around 200 pounds. Like, it's the easiest meat. If you want the easiest meat you will ever raise, broad-breasted turkeys. They're no work except you put a lot of feed into them. When they get, like, in that last 60 days as you're finishing them, they plow through that. Like, they're like vacuum cleaners. I wonder what happened to Nicole. She's gone.
It's just that thunderstorm, probably. Just weather.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She said she's got a storm there. Let's see if we got any other. Okay, here you go, John. You can beat somebody up. How do I start a greenhouse kit business when I wonder why anyone pays thousands to Costco for cheap shit? We'll be including hail shields.
So I don't know, man. I would tell you to look at Farmer's Friend and see what they're doing. There's some really good greenhouse companies. I met a man that builds greenhouses. I can't remember the name of his company at Kentucky Sustainable Living Show. Super cool dude. I have a Farmer's Friend here. They put it on a pallet. We pulled it out with a fork, and two guys put it up in 6 to 8 hours one afternoon. I don't really know, man. I don't know.
He sounds like he wants to make them, though, for people.
That's what I think too. And if somebody's paying $1,000 for those, what are you gonna sell yours for? Whatever number you have in your head, you're probably not charging enough. If you can only make five, charge more and sell to, you know, higher end clients or clients with more money.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think, like, greenhouses, if you want to go in that business, you need to be at a different level if you want to actually make it something that's going to make you money in a real way and be anything more than, like, I guess if you can drop ship something or whatever, you know, that somebody else has manufactured, put your name on it, that's fine. But if I was building them, I would be building, like, in-ground geothermal, something like that. There's a company out of Colorado. They build the highly insulated ones. They're only open in the front. You face them south. And they literally have, like, these reflectors. So you drop – it's like a shutter that comes up on the window at night. And you drop them down during the day so that they increase the amount of light in, because the light is not just coming in the window. It's actually bouncing off the shutter into the thing. And they have thermal batteries in them. So they have, like, a pipe that goes in the ground. Mm-hmm. And they have a vent really high up in the greenhouse and one really down low in the greenhouse. And so all summer long, it sucks the heat out of the top and puts it in the ground.
Yep.
And then all winter long, it discharges the battery heat back into it. And they're growing tomatoes in, you know, near Aspen in the middle of January. They still have their tomatoes growing in these greenhouses. So to me, something like that, or some kind of in-ground or something. And you can sell the poor people. You can sell the middle-class people. You can sell the rich people. And I think the more you have to do to deliver the product, the higher end the demographic you want to sell to is. If you want to sell to poor people, you want a grocery store model. You don't do anything. They buy your shit. You make 2%.
And you want to sell. the hiring customer is not going to nitpick it. He's not going to try to negotiate a price with you either. I would tell you to look at Rimmel, RIMMOL. Check out Rimmel, check out Grower Solution, and check out Farmer's Friend. Farmer's Friend came up with a one that can be flat packed. It's probably the lowest cost out there. And then you have options. We have a 50 foot. You can get 100. They even did some 25s. I know Curtis Stone was doing chickens all winter out in, 6 foot snow in this thing with wood mulch. And he had his chickens in there and then just kind of moved it off, moved it over, and then actually planted in that area, the next season. So, I mean, you have a lot of options. If you've got 100, you could build 250s out of that thing. It's just the plastic that skins it. And I've had our plastic on there for probably going on 5 years right now. So you have a ton of options. And that's what mine looks like on the left right there. I have the Gothic Arch.
Yeah.
And I did the 2 foot high ride kit so that I could intentionally drive equipment through there if we needed to work on stuff out of the rain, if we needed to put people on cots in there, if we needed to use it for anything else. And man, that thing's great. It's super easy to put up. I've got shade cloth. I can unskin it or I can put the shade cloth over the clear. And we built a big rolling barn door that's 14 feet tall, and I can drive my skid steer completely in there if we have to.
That's cool.
Yep.
That's cool. If you want a cheap one, and I'm now working with Vivor, so please go to the survivalpodcast.com and go to tspaz.com actually and click on the Vivor link if you do this. They have some really decent, like, 10 by 20 tunnels, but the thing to do with those is go to YouTube and look up reinforcing Vivor greenhouse. Yep. And for $100 worth of lumber, you can take something that is pretty much junk and make it a badass greenhouse tunnel.
Yeah, I would take those also. I have one that my quail sit in out here. I just have quail in racks inside there. And I would tell you, before you build that out, raise it up about 2 feet at least, because I kind of, when I move to one side, I hit my head on that mesh. I have the chicken coop version. So okay. That we do. Just raise that up on some cinder blocks or rail ties and get it up. Same with a hoop house. If you're going to do a house out of cattle panels, like it, you're very limited, but we did them for years and years. And if you just raise them up about 24 inches, it makes it much more user friendly.
The big thing with any of the tunnels, though, even the more expensive ones, is making sure your skin is tight.
Yeah.
Because what kills them is ponding water.
Yes.
Water's 8 pounds plus a gallon, man. So you get 20 gallons in one spot, right? You've got 160 plus pounds. And then all you need is a little breeze. And it's like a big fat guy up on top of your tunnel, and it's gonna give in.
Yeah, we did the Gothic Arch, so it sheds it even ice. Like ice just comes right off in snow. And then we spaced them instead of the standard 5 foot. We had a 4 foot option, so we had extra purlons and stuff in there. And we have never had a problem with that thing at all. We had the cattle panel once completely collapse, and then we stood them up and put 4x4s with 2x6s in there, and we went another 2 years with those. But that Farmer's Friend thing, man, and we get some real wind. Nicole can tell you, we've had like some real storms come through here, and I've got up in the morning. I'm like, there's no way that row house is there. And part of it has to do with orientation of it also.
Yeah.
And we have it running, the long edge is south facing. So it comes in, and it melts ice really well. It melts snow down. And when you go in there in the winter, man, it's 30 degrees warmer inside that thing in the day. And it literally is raining. And cause it literally makes condensation and then rains and self waters all the raised beds that I put in there through the winter.
I love that about greenhouses. You go in the winter, like the smaller ones, you just grab the side and just shake it.
Yep.
And then you just watered everything.
And yourself. Awesome. Yeah. Yep. And in a storm, you can stand in there, till the storm passes and stuff.
Yeah. And I would 100% get the cathedral one if I was going to get one after seeing John's in action, because I haven't seen him replacing a lot of plastic every year.
We haven't replaced any of it yet.
Anything. Yeah, like it's just had it up. It's worked. It hasn't had the water pooling problem. Like we've seen it in the rain. We've been inside it in the rain.
Yep.
Yeah.
I use it for storage all the time outside when we're just working projects. I'll leave all the tools and the walk-behind mowers and stuff in there. It works well. And especially you put shade cloth on there, man. It's just like having a lean-to or something to store stuff if you're not growing in, which I don't grow in ground. NRCS will actually pay for, they'll reimburse you for a lot of that, but you have to grow in the ground. You can't have heated. There's a couple stipulations you have to do.
You have to use cover crop seed. Yeah. If you go to my site, thesurvivalpodcast.com, and put in NRCS, we've had a couple different interviews with NRCS people, but I think it was Rob Avis I had on that talked about the grants and what you have to do to get them. And he put in like a $20,000 setup, and I think it cost him out of pocket like $4,000 by the time he got all the grants and everything. And the restrictions they put on you, you know, he said that no one ever came and checked. They signed off on it. You got to put cover crop down wherever you're not growing, and then you're supposed to do it for like 4 years. They can come anytime and check for 4 years, but he never saw anybody ever again.
And they're not going to write you a check. You have to buy this thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Write you a check out. Like, they're not going to help you buy it. You have to have the money.
No, they sign off at the end that you did everything. Then you get your money. So you do have to front the capital.
Absolutely. And those guys will come out and site survey. Like, they're actually very useful. They have a lot of knowledge for you.
I'm going to say that NRCS is probably the least invasive species of United States bureaucracies. They're probably the most benevolent, most useful thing that we have in the federal government.
We were given goats away. I had 23 goats, and we had this man show up with a truck, and I said, how are you going to move these? And he just had cattle panels they zipped together, and he walks out with a lasso. I go, oh, this is going to be insane. And he actually lassoed every one of these goats.
He lassoed 22 of those goats.
Yeah, 22. Mexican dude, had a little three-year-old out there dressed like a cowboy. The kid was lassoing him, and he was a prior service Marine. Lived in Lebanon, and he said that I thought it was NRCS, and they paid for all of his fencing to outer perimeter, I think he had 17 acres or something, and they covered all of that between a grant he had because he was prior military and farming, and then NRCS. And he said, man, they were so helpful. They came out and helped us on a bunch of projects.
You can get fencing through NRCS at times. Like, they will do fencing grants in locations.
They have more money than they have people to give money to, because NRCS has some very strict, like John was saying about the greenhouse. You can't have a greenhouse and grow in containers. You have to go and grow on the ground.
Can't be heated.
I've been talking a lot about cover crops lately, and people are like, oh, we need subsidies and we need bullshit. Right now, you can get paid more to put a cover crop down than it costs you to do it. Texas right now, you can get about $47 an acre in grants for doing cover cropping, and the cost of the seed is about $15 per acre. Right? I mean, so you can get paid to plant cover crops through NRCS, and they have more money than they have people. And you know how that works. If they don't pay it out, they start losing from their budget in the next cycle. So
how do they want you to put that cover in? Do they want it drilled or just broadcasted, or is there any stipulations to it?
I don't know all the details, but it's probably got to be. Well, it's not going to just be drilled, because I've listened to some podcasts of guys that are doing it, and they're using aerial drones to do their seeding.
Nice.
So if you're doing aerial seeding, you're not, you know, you're not drilling. It probably has to do with the individual situation that you're seeding into, right? Like, so they'll probably say for this thing at this time with this seed, then you have to do it this way. But it doesn't look hard to get done at all.
They make a little tow behind Honda mower powered 6 foot wide seed drill that looks super prominent. Well, I've talked to guys that have used them for like this property. It would be great for using something small like that here, especially the four wheeler where we don't like.
Go ahead.
Especially like where, so we don't have to compact, you know, and drive a big tractor or skid steer or something across.
And at the same time, though, they're doing like really large machinery to do this too. Like, they're making like 18 foot width no-till drills that are doing like 9 different crops. So each of the, you know, like they're doing 1 foot spacing, and so there's 18 discs, and each disc is capable of doing a different seed type. And maybe they're doing like a 4 or 6 species mix. And you look at it, and we say we can't scale this, but they're using slightly modified equipment that they use for everything else commercial farming does. And they're drilling this seed right in, and then they're crimp rolling it and planting it green into the next cycle. And they're getting incredible results doing that. And it's one of the few things that we seem to be on the right track with.
Which is good to be on the right track with something.
Something. Right. And
I like your segment about like capturing carbon that you did earlier this month or earlier last month.
Yeah.
And it was just like, hey, let's stop arguing about global warming and start talking about
Put carbon in the soil.
We want to get carbon out of the atmosphere, and if so, how do we do it?
You know what surprised me about that, Nicole, was the people that objected the most were not left-wing lunatics. They were right-wing lunatics that wanted to know how I knew there wasn't enough carbon in the – there was too much carbon in the atmosphere. And I said, because we need more in the soil, and there's only one place to get it. Like, I think people don't understand. Like, again, basic science, basic economics, shit that we should learn in school, we don't. Like, where are we going to get more carbon from than we currently have on planet Earth? And the answer is nowhere. Every carbon atom that exists on the planet right now is all the carbon. Unless we go get it from another place and bring it to Earth, carbon is an element. It's not a molecule. It's an element. It's down to the atomic level. You can't make carbon unless you have a star, right? It's a fusion reaction to make carbon. Every atom of carbon that shall ever exist on planet Earth, unless we go off world and find it somewhere, is already here. So if you put – and our soil should have a carbon content of about 3%, and they're under 1%. So if we're going to increase the soil content of carbon to 3%, where are we going to get it if we don't get it from the atmosphere? And then they got really mad. They got really angry when I asked them that. I don't understand why people get so mad when you just simply ask a question and then they don't like the answer.
You are challenging a belief system.
Yeah. And I ain't worried about global. And I was very clear about that in that segment. Like, I'm not worried about global warming. But if you are, we have the same. And that's why if we're going to get some of this shit done, can't we find the places where our goals are actually the same? And the reason I think it's hard to do is I don't believe that the people on the global warming side of the debate, their agenda is actually to take carbon out of the atmosphere. I think it is to institute global governance, and I know it sounds conspiratorial, but give me another example. Like,
yeah, you're 100% right.
Yeah, prove me wrong with that, right? Like, what is your explanation when literally we could? This is a mathematical fact. If we took all the arable farmland that we're currently farming, not the stuff that we've abandoned, currently farming, and we increase the organic matter content, which is carbon, in that soil to 2%, which would be optimum for farming, by the way. We would remove 100% of the carbon from the atmosphere that humans have produced in the last 100 years. 100 years of carbon just by putting 2% organic matter in the soil. If that's the case, and if you actually care about what you say you care about, why wouldn't we do that? Give me one good reason not to do that. And there isn't one. So then I'm left with, you actually want your communist socialist agenda, and you want your transgenderism or whatever, and you don't actually care about what you say you care about, because who couldn't get on board with that?
How do you save power? You establish carbon credits, and then you buy and sell credits so that you, the person running the thing that people have to buy, acquire carbon credits from other people who are then not allowed to do what they need to do to survive. And then they're beholden to you to buy the things they need to survive. Wherein, if we improve the soil, the other side benefit is we get healthier because we have better access to nutrition in our plants.
So who loses if we do it?
The people who control us.
Yeah,
to control us.
Let's not even go to government. Who loses industry wise, right?
Yeah.
So the fertilizer industry loses. The herbicide industry loses. The GMO seed companies lose. A lot of the equipment manufacturers lose because you need less equipment. You just need different equipment, but less equipment to do this. You work the equipment less, so the equipment lasts longer.
And
so John Deere and Kubota lose, right? You use less fuel because you're running the equipment less. So, you know, Aramco and Texaco and what have you, that Shell Oil, they all lose. Right. So then the pharmaceutical companies are going to lose because we're not eating toxic food anymore. And I don't know if you know this, but if your food is nutrient dense, you just naturally eat less of it. So big food loses. We don't need ethanol anymore. So big corn loses. Like, if you start making a list of all the people that lose before you even get to the WEF or the world governments of the world, the whatever, like, there's this massive list. The universities lose. Right. You don't need a 4-year degree to understand and make this mix of cover crop and put it in your field. So we don't need the high level agronomy degrees and shit like that. Like, think about how much you have to make up bullshit to make somebody take 4 years to get a degree in how to grow food on a farm. You have to make up a lot of bullshit. You know, I love my niece, but she just graduated from A&M, very expensive school, with a degree in poultry science. She has a friend that was at her graduation that graduated a few years earlier. And after we left her graduation party, my wife turns to me and goes, "You and I know more about chickens and duck than they do." Like, if you just gave them 24 birds and said, take care of them on your land, they would have to start from zero. They don't know anything. They know how to formulate an antibiotic recipe. They know how to formulate a feed recipe. But they don't know actually how to take care of the animals in a natural environment. But I can – how long does it take to teach somebody to take care of chickens and ducks, Nicole? A few weeks?
Yeah, maybe. 45 minutes.
Dedicated, like, this webinar. Is what you do 8 hours a day, right? I mean, yeah. You don't need 4 years to learn how to do this. So,
but
like,
throw them in a chicken CAFO with, you know, not proper ventilation and in their own poop. That's a different – it's harder to keep a chicken alive in that.
Well, that's the situation, right? Like, the least natural situation you put a living organism, the more chemicals you need to keep it alive and relatively comfortable. Like, if you take a child and put them in a classroom, you might need to give them Ritalin or Adderall or something like that so they'll sit still, right? But maybe it's because a 7-year-old child is not supposed to sit still in a desk for 8 hours a day. Maybe that's just not a natural state for that living entity to be in. And then go ahead, John.
It's lack of sunlight. It's lack of vitamin D. Yep. We used to go to school and have recess. And then at 10 something, you'd have recess. And then you'd have lunch, which was also recess. And then later in the day, you'd have recess or PE where you're outside for 45 mm-hmm. minutes. It's just the lack of, it's the lack of sunlight. It's the lack of, you know, using all that energy. So of course those little boys are, you know, bouncing around. And of course the teacher wants to sedate them. I mean, you have people right now in public school systems where they are giving children drugs and not even notifying the parents of the drugs.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons my grandkids are not in public school.
And oftentimes,
if you get it, I'll kill you.
Like, take your child and decide that you want a 3-day weekend with your child every week, right? Somebody will knock on your door and you'll have to go to court. And if you continue to do it, you'll go to jail. But at the same time, you could have just been like, we're not doing your reindeer games. My kid no longer goes to your school. 100%. And that's how a lot of the things that people spend a lot of time pissing and moaning about, you could simply remove yourself from that system and just not participate in it.
You but know, John, I can't. That's the problem. I can't because reason. That's
it's always, I wish I could do what you do, but you can. You just won't do what we did.
So the other day, I'm going to say it's not without sacrifice. Like, my wife and I could just fuck off every day if we weren't doing this for our grandkids right now. Like, our life would be so much simpler. But the other day I was out and I was taking care of some of the plants and stuff, and I had the dog with me, and my granddaughter is filling up the feeders. You know, she's 8 years old, and I walk by her with the dog, and she just real sweet goes, "Hi, Belle," to the dog. And it's like 9:30 in the morning. And I'm like, okay, that right there is worth the whole fucking day. That kid is in that mode at 9:30 in the morning instead of being told to sit down and shut up and listen to bullshit that they're never going to use. If you want an indictment of the public education system, Jeff Foxworthy did it with a TV show called Who Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? The fact that you can get like a production engineer for Lockheed Martin who will get the wrong answer on a fifth grade science question, but the dude's making $250,000 a year running a team of 10 other engineers. He's not stupid. All you've done is just expose the fact that that little factoid was completely meaningless to a man who lives his life in science. So how much of that bullshit are they putting into your kids on it? And at least they used to do that. Now they're putting other bullshit, like, you know, using proper pronouns, which are not. I learned pronouns in high school. I'm sure you in grade school, and I'm sure you guys did too. Like he, she, it, right? Like
hey.
They, right? Not Z-Zem or whatever bullshit they made up. Like,
I'm basically your age, Jack, and we did learn that it was okay to learn to use a plural pronoun for somebody if you didn't know their gender.
Huh.
And they said it has become colloquially acceptable to do it so you can do it.
Is this when you were teaching or when you were a student?
No, when I was a student.
That's as long ago as me then.
But that was in the late 80s in high school in grammar class, 11th grade. So it was like 88.
See, I always learned the patriarchy speaking default to the male. And then, if you didn't know.
Well, we went through a language PC language cycle in 1996, and I know this because I was teaching English as a second language, and people were very confused. And there was a whole thing you went through. You were supposed to go through about PC stuff, and I was at that time a communist-ish socialist person, so I totally taught it. And I look back on that, and I'm like, stupid, stupid, stupid. Like, I was buying in. Like, I know exactly how that got instigated through teachers, because I was one of those teachers.
Well, it's the thing that the person is in charge, so you do what you're told. And that's just how society tends to work until people break free of that. Remember the experiment? I can't remember what it's called, but they did it, like, in the 60s, where they had people in a room, and the person that was the subject thought they were electrocuting the person in the room, and there's, like, a guy in a white coat, like a doctor, sitting next to him. And the guy's pretending to get electrocuted, and they literally get to the point where they tell him, now, if you do this again, you might kill him this time, but I want you to do it anyway. And something like 90% of people still press the fucking button, right? I've seen other conditioning ones where, like, they have a medical office, and a guy goes in, he thinks he's actually there for a medical appointment. Everybody else is in on the gag, and all of a sudden, like, 5 minutes later, a bell goes off, and everybody else stands up. Bell goes off again, and everybody in the waiting room sits down, and like two or three cycles, and the dude that is not in on it is standing up and sitting down and following along. Like, I don't understand how people are this way, but I accept that they are this way.
Yes. And once you break out of it, having been that way, you wonder if you're still that way.
Yeah. I think we all are. It's a matter of degrees. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that, like, one of the things you can do to truly fuck yourself from freedom is to convince yourself that you're completely, you know, red-pilled or whatever, like that there's no vestiges left of that system of control. You have to always be kind of checking yourself, where am I going along to get along here? And then you also have to, like, there are probably times when going along to get along might be the way to go, but then you should know you're doing it, why you're doing it, and the duration you're going to do it for. Like, there's plenty of times I see things that I'm not okay with, but I'm also like, it's not my place to go tell that motherfucker he can't do that. Yep. So I'm just going to shut my mouth and walk away from this, you know, like, so I really think most people that think they're completely free are probably, in the words of the colloquialism, most enslaved, right? They falsely believe themselves to be free, and maybe more so than the average idiot who thinks they're free, right? Like, the person that really thinks they broke loose and didn't. Because none of us have. There's all things we do.
That is why they're fighting you on the carbon thing.
Yeah.
Because they're not free, but they think they're free.
Yeah.
And it is built into the identity.
Yeah. My response to that was, do you think 0.5% organic matter in farm soil is enough? No. Then where am I going to get the carbon from?
Yeah.
And then you get, like, when you guys see me type where I write, like, the mix of capital and lowercase letters, that's for autistic shrieking. Like, I'm amazed by that. I thought there was a lot of that yesterday, though, with that 9-0. I know we're circled back around, but that Supreme Court decision, it's not that I cared. It's that the entertainment value of it coming out was just beyond words. Beyond words. People always say, like, you're supposed to be an anarchist. You're not supposed to care about this. I can observe something without participating in it.
Yeah, I love this comment by Battle Chemist. It also doesn't make sense to die on your hill if you can let something slide.
Yeah. And let the other guy die on his.
Like, when you find yourself on the hill you're going to die on, like, tell yourself, like, pretend like you're explaining 10 years from now what hill you just died on, like, to some other, to your mom or somebody. So, like, he called me a poopy head and I was not going to let that slide and whatever. Like, when you analyze it and you're retelling it, it helps you take yourself out of that defensive frame you've put yourself in and see it from the outside. And I'm explaining to my kids why, like, my arm just got cut off.
You mean like as a disembodied ghost, like you get to explain.
When you start that narrative and then you're like, if I heard this narrative, would I think the person was an idiot for, you know, sacrificing a limb to this cause? Well, then maybe I need to think about what my role in this is right now. And there are times when I'm willing to sacrifice a limb if I have to. But there are other times where it's like, you know, like that person has is not seeing the truth of the facts in front of them and not getting themselves out of the headspace they're in. So they're not even open to the idea that maybe a meat-based diet is going to be healthier for them, for example.
Yeah.
Am I going to die on the hill? No, I'm going to ask a question and walk away because it's not worth my time.
But so I like your point. Your point there is like, so like, imagine I died when my son was 10. And when he's 20 years old, I have to explain to him why I chose to die. Would that explanation be worth that 10 years of his life, me not being in it? Right? Because there's certain things that would be. If somebody was trying to kill him and I laid down my life to save his, the answer to that question would be yes. But, you know, I picked a fight with the ATF because I was angry about them taking away solvent traps. That would probably not be a good conversation to have as a ghost with your surviving, you know, child that is now an adult that grew up without you because you wanted to prove something. Like, you went killdozer when you didn't need to, I guess.
Well, the real question is, what do you stand to gain by that? Like, what are you going to gain by trying to dissuade somebody or change their mind, so, especially somebody you don't know? What do you stand to gain? But also, what might you lose? Like, when you're waiting for that parking spot at Walmart or whatever, and that guy whips in there and takes your car, takes your spot, and you honk on the horn and you block him and you get out. That dude might change your life that day. That your life might end over that parking space. Just go. I tell my kids all the time, and especially young people, like, yeah, okay, we can evaluate what we stand to gain, but more importantly, what might you lose by this action? And is that worth it? Like, you have no idea the violence that that person is willing to bring to you. And a lot of this happens on the internet. Sometimes people forget that they are on the internet and dealing with people, and people will bring violence to you. People have this perception of how the world is because they live in a make-believe world.
And I think what you got to remember in those scenarios is that the person that would have done nothing except say fuck off and walk away from you one day may pull out a gun and shoot you the next. You don't know what happened to that person that day. You don't know why they're behaving in a way that doesn't generally – they could be just a random asshole. But that guy might have found out that day that he was getting served with divorce. He's losing his company. His wife is taking his kids away from him. And he got a speeding ticket on the way to Walmart when he took your thing. And he's Michael Douglas in Falling Down.
Yep.
Right? And you don't know that you are that last straw on the back of the camel, and all of a sudden, you know, this guy's going apeshit over a parking spot. You don't know that. And, you know, there's a saying, old men do not grow brave, we grow cautious.
Yeah, his wife might be at home screaming in pain, and he's picking up her prescription.
Yeah.
I think you probably encounter a lot of people on a daily basis like that. It's just a good thing that you weren't the catalyst to that final straw.
And sometimes it's not even about violence. Sometimes it's about compassion. So I don't remember whose book it was, but it was like a Harvey McKay or somebody like that. I was reading this book about understanding people. And he told the story about how one day he was on the subway in Manhattan somewhere. And this guy's there and he's got three kids with him. And like the oldest one's like 12 and like there's middle and then like the youngest one. And the kids are just running ape shit, climbing on shit, whatever. And the guy's just sitting there like not doing anything to rein his kids in. I think it was Harry Beckwith. And he finally says to him, he says, hey, what about your kids? And the guy stops and looks up at him and goes, he's not even there. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what to do with them. We just came from the hospital and their mom just died. Hmm. You don't know what that other person is dealing with that moment. You really don't. And that's something we need to be a little bit more in tune with, I think, because especially in this space, we get a lot of this whole I'll kick everybody's ass attitude or whatever. Like, nah, man, you don't know what that other person's dealing with.
Yeah, you'll kick everybody's ass if you have to.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and you still won't, by the way. I don't care who you are. Somebody can whoop your ass. And I don't care if you can kick 90% of people's ass. Some little shrimp can walk up behind you in a parking lot and hit you right where your head joins your fucking neck with a ball peen hammer. And guess where you're going? To the ground and probably into it, right? Like anybody can kill you. Like, that's something we just, like, men are not supposed to talk like that or say that. But, like, if you look at some of the people that get killed and some of the people that do the killing, it's not like the guy that did the killing was necessarily stronger, faster, smarter. He was just willing to do it and waited for the opportunity. And we need to be cognizant of shit like that because I've seen shit happen. Like, that one dude back a few years ago in Pennsylvania where the guy comes out and kills the wife and the husband. Did you see that, Nicole?
Mm-mm.
He shoots them both with a handgun, and they're laying on the ground still screaming at him, you motherfucker, you shot me. He goes back in his house, gets an AR, and comes out and finishes both of them. And they were fighting over snow shoveling.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I did see that. I didn't watch the video, but yeah, that's an example of a video I won't usually watch voluntarily.
First rule of survival.
I know what happened here.
First rule of survival, wake up tomorrow. Like, if you die, you failed. Right? I mean, like, I guess we got kind of dark there, but whatever.
Well, I mean, it does get dark because it goes to that level. Like, we get into bad habits too, right? Like, your defensiveness triggers and you do and say things you probably shouldn't do and say to people. And if somebody isn't an adult in that situation, it can go horribly wrong. But at the same time, the same thing applies. Do you want to get home alive today? If you're looking in your rearview mirror on the way home from something and this car has been behind you the whole time and you're pulling into something remote or whatever, what does it cost you to take 10 more minutes driving home and go a different route and just verify it? And if they're still following you, you know, it's better not to end up alone on a country road with the wrong car behind you. Like, drive into town, go somewhere where there are people around or whatever.
Your closest police station should be in your GPS.
Yeah. And
go there.
That may seem uber paranoid, but I would rather be paranoid for 20 minutes driving to the police station or whatever, rather than dead on the side of the road.
Let's say this happens. You pissed me off in traffic. You didn't know you did it. I'm following you. You go home, and I just drive right past like nothing happened. You know what I know now? Where you live.
Yep.
And don't think there aren't people that won't look for that soft underbelly, you know. And cowards are more likely to do it. And so, you know, cowards are dangerous. Cowards are dangerous people. They will not confront a person, you know, on any kind of level ground. So that means they will do it in a very nefarious, very dangerous way. And I say that all the time. Don't always go the same route. Like, if I run to the store, I take different routes, you know, and if people say it's overkill or whatever, so what, you know, I mean, Buffett wrote a song. I'm never wasting time taking a long way home, right? There's always some good that comes out of it. And it's a good countermeasure at the same time.
And you can see the changes in your neighborhood, which is helpful.
Situational awareness. Yeah. I play games with the kids. Every time we go out somewhere, I want you to tell me something that's different about this route from the last time we took it. A car, something broke, a tree branch fell, something, anything.
Yep. Well, we've been going on 2 hours. Is it time to wrap, guys?
I think it is.
On that note, let's go once around the horn, and we'll start with you, Jack.
Buy Bitcoin. Check out my site, thesurvivalpodcast.com. We do a podcast almost every day of the week. We've been around since 2008, 3,450-odd episodes as of right now, and we'd love to have you become part of our community if you're not already part of it.
John?
SOETacticalGear.com is my website. We do a different shirt every week, like this one. I do a live every night at 9 o'clock on Special Operations Equipment YouTube channel. You can see those and decide if you want to become a member or part of that. And then I have 5,000 videos on there. We just broke 100,000 on YouTube a couple weeks ago. And I'm on Instagram and Facebook and everywhere. So wherever you want to interact. And typically when somebody replies on any of those, it's usually me doing it.
It is usually him doing it. Well, guys, if you want to have a beautiful cup of coffee delivered to your door, you can get it at hollowroast.com. It is what powered me through this live stream. And I was really happy that I've built some resilience into my life and some durability, particularly in the internet department. We were on all three of my internet connections today. And it took a little extra power today to keep this live stream going for me. You guys were fine, but we were getting, I think we got, I'm going to guess we got 4 inches in the last hour. My road is now flooded. It went from not flooded to flooded while we were on this live stream. So that was super exciting weather. But, you know, if you think about the things that are likely to happen to you and make plans for that within the context of your priorities, you can go really far. And that takes a mindset shift if what you're doing is panicking about cereal commercials and all of the noise that you're hearing, because you can't control that. But you can control one thing, and that is yourself. If you want to get better at that mindset shift and meet people who love to work with you on that, consider going to the Self-Reliance Festival, April 6th and 7th, and it is also powered by Hollow Roast. We'll see you next Tuesday.
See ya. Are they gonna bail you out or just run you round? They
said you should have a house the American way. A dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.